Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time.
There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Check 1, 2. Hello, everyone. Greetings from the sick ward.
Yeah, pretty much.
At Casa de Roni.
Yeah.
And so we're sorry we had to do this, but we needed a little time flexibility.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's what I'm going to say. So there may be some edits here and there. We'll see how it goes. But thank you for understanding that we did not have a live show tonight. Sorry about that. But I got some flu bug Friday. Man, knocked me for a loop. So
yeah, it did. You haven't been that sick in a while.
No. And I was, yeah. But like I said in my tweet, my dieting has greatly increased because I've only had a cup of soup and a cheese sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Grilled cheese.
So Weight Watchers is very happy with me.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Are you going to be okay?
Yeah. Is my microphone even on? Doesn't sound like it's on.
It's on.
Okay. I just didn't know if you could hear me or not. So.
I can. Can you hear it now?
I can hear it now. Oh, there we go.
Okay. Just ask and I will help you.
Okay.
So yeah, this is old school kind of. We used to do it. Just us.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So anyway, thanks
and
for understanding.
It's really old school because I'm knitting right now too.
Yep. So thanks for understanding. Now we're going to jump in. There's whole bunches of things that we're going to be talking about. Great voicemails, great emails. So we will start at the top. And this is Saturday night, November 3rd, 2012.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And with sick hosts.
Yes.
This is hour number one. I don't know if there's going to be an hour number two, so we will see.
Yep. Before we jump into something, we do have one little item we need to take care of.
Okay. What's that?
Today is a special day for somebody.
That is correct. It is Shay's birthday.
Yep.
Happy birthday to Shay.
Yep. Happy birthday, Shay.
Longtime listener.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time we found her on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's come along for other little fun things here and there along the way. Saw her at the museum up near the Bay
area. California Science Museum in San Francisco.
And also for the meetup at Disneyland.
That is correct.
So, yeah, thanks for all the fun things that you bring, Shay, and happy birthday for sure.
Yes. And this is a pretty big one for her, too, so that's good.
Well, happy special birthday. Remember, calories don't count on your birthday.
They never do.
So, all righty. And I think that's all. You know, we try and have a little fun, and some people don't really understand that. I think we should be more serious, but
yeah, you know what? They can just
we try and have
do
fun.
Something else, then.
We try and have fun, and but, however, we don't want to have fun at the sake of folks on the East Coast that are suffering from this storm.
Right.
So, you know, I want to say, however you feel comfortable donating, doing something to help, do that. And, you know, because there's always these types of little things that people tweet out, you know, give here and give there. And then Sometimes people say, well, the money never ended up wherever. So whatever you feel most comfortable with, I know that we have a pretty varied listening audience. Mm-hmm. Some are Christians, some are atheists, some are Wiccan. We have all kinds of different folks. So whatever organization you feel comfortable with giving through, give through that. If it is a Red Cross, great. Do something. And, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, I'm going to take just a second and talk about this. But, yeah. You know, organizations and things are really getting into the whole giving back. And that's fine. But sometimes I think we and others feel like, man, just give. That's all, you know what I mean? But it's important when it's you that needs something. And
That is true. And I'll tell you, you know, just real quick, you know, gosh, 23 years ago, my family and I had a house fire where we lost just about everything. There were a few things that were salvageable, you know, but we lost a lot of stuff, and the Red Cross actually was there and helped us out quite a bit. And a lot of family and friends, you know, pitched in, and we ended up with, you know, clothes and food and places to stay. And it was really great. So I really appreciate the help. I have experienced that firsthand. I know what that's like, and I think it is important, and it's something that you'll never forget.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully you never need it yourself, but somebody who does experience it, who does, you know, benefit from whatever you do, help, they will never forget that.
Yeah. You know, and I know that, sometimes it's look, I understand that this economic downturn has knocked everybody out.
Yeah.
Totally get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, and we try our best to have some type of a fund socked away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not huge, but that we can try from time to time, and we haven't been able to do it as much, but to keep an amount somewhere that we can put into something. And I know that everybody needs something, and I'm going way off on a tangent, but I think it's important to kind of think about these kinds of things, because if you just look at just the weather, you know, Philippines and the different types of storms and earthquakes and all these wild stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's been a crazy year.
Yeah.
It's a crazy year for that stuff.
Yeah. We're all connected and we need each other, and do what you can through an organization that you feel comfortable with giving through to do something. So. I wanted to say that. So, sometimes when you decide to do something, it's a lot of work, and you hadn't really anticipated it was going to be that much work.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, it'd be cool to do a Once Upon a Time quiz on YouTube, you know, and if you get a wrong answer, you go to a, you know, kind of a slide that says it's wrong or right. And I go, man, that'd be fun. And it was a lot of work.
Well,
a lot of work.
It's fun, but it's a lot of work.
Yep. And I just wanted to see if it would work, you know, and it did, but it took a lot of time. So we do have now the OneCert quiz number 2, and it is officiated by Mr. Rumpelstiltskin. And so he'll be there kind of telling you if you're right or wrong and kind of working you through the quiz.
Cool.
And a lot of really cool questions and a lot of different ways to ask questions. And so I'm just trying to kind of try a couple of things to see if it's a viable way to get on YouTube. But, you know, it's funny. Once you do something 2 times, you say, oh, this will make it easier the 3rd time. So anyway, I think I figured out how to do it in the background so that it's easier. But
right. The more you do something, the easier it gets.
Right. So it's fun, and it's on YouTube, and I will post the link in the show notes for that.
Cool.
And so our Facebook fan page for the Once Upon a Time Fan podcast is really growing. I posted some pictures of the inside and out of Storybrooke Free Public Library. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, of course, the you know, the scary thing is, well, they have ownership of your images. And I'm like, well, okay. You know, Google will probably get ownership at some point, you know, uploading it to whatever. So I don't know. I could keep them to myself, but then no one else would know. I couldn't share,
that's
right?
That's true.
All right. So it's at facebook.com/OUAT podcast. That's where you can find the podcast fan page. Please go by and like it if you are a Facebooker. And if you are not, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's because
some people just don't want to go on Facebook. And until the election, I don't blame them. And that's all I'm going to say. And we move on.
Yep.
So I did. Do we want to talk about the Frankenstein thing?
The what?
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein?
Okay. Here's my final thoughts. Just in case anyone is like, you know, Jeff's a hater. He doesn't like the show. No. Let me explain. If you watch any interview from any cast member, any producer of Once Upon a Time, they will say, here is the elevator pitch for the show. Evil Queen curses fairy tale characters. Fairy tale characters. That's what everybody says.
Mm-hmm.
And it says fairy tale characters you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. So I was fine through season one. Going, cool, really cool. Then we got King Midas, and I'm thinking, well, Greek mythology, kind of a fairy tale, sort of.
Well, let's look at the elements of a fairy tale, right?
Yeah.
Fairy tale almost always has a prince or princess, someone of royalty, right?
Morality play, yeah.
You have a dragon or some mythological creature who's not real.
Right.
But is also not human, typically.
Mm-hmm.
You have some sort of magic or fairy or imp or... Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Frankenstein has none of those things.
Well, hold on. I'm not even there yet, but got it. Okay. So then, in a recent interview in Entertainment Weekly, the producers say that Graham was almost Sherlock Holmes. So, therefore, now, because of rights and different situations, they didn't go there, and they changed it to the Huntsman, which tied it in with Snow White.
Right.
So, they could continue to say, it's fairy tale characters. But if they had have gone Sherlock Holmes, that would have made it really tough to go through that whole season with that kind of, you know, intro to the show.
Right.
Now, let's go back to last Sunday, watching the show. So now we've integrated Dr. Frankenstein into Once Upon a Time. Frankenstein is not a fairy tale.
Nope.
Now, a better way to explain it then, now, again, I'm not hating. I'm just trying to keep up with what we've been told. And that's why we drug our feet on this, you know. And, you know, you had your feelings about it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I was just trying to kind of go with the framework that was given to us. That's all. And so now it's not fairy tale characters. It is literary characters, which opens Pandora's box up. It's anything. Everything.
Right. Which is a little disappointing because, well, you know, that's really not the whole point of the show. It's not what it started out to be. I don't know. I'm just, anyway.
So, you know, I mean, part of what our podcast is, and I'm going to go off on it. This is going to be kind of a long intro. If you listen to a number of Once Upon a Time podcasts, they're very similar. We cover the same type of material. And we've always been kind of hearty. You know, I cry. We talk about giving to people and helping on the East Coast, and you know.
You said hearty. I'm like, hearty? What?
I don't feel hearty this weekend.
No, I mean, what you meant was very heart-centric.
Yeah. Yeah. Heart is very important to us.
Yes.
So, and we're being honest. And, you know, there's a difference between hating and being honest. Now, let me say this. We are a bit taken aback and kind of have to restructure our thinking because, you know, it's kind of like we kind of understood where we were going last season. And there's a lot of cool stories. There's a lot of cool stories that we still haven't finished up yet. But now we have more characters, and now we have Dr. Frankenstein, and now it's kind of like anything is possible then. Anything. You know, I had people,
right.
I had people email me and say, Jeff, when are we going to see Star Wars on Once Upon a Time? Because Disney bought Lucasfilm.
Right.
And, I mean, there's part of me that's going, it'll never work. But on the full scope of things, heck, maybe. Now we have to say, maybe. Instead of, no, that doesn't work with the framework we've been told. I don't know. Cause it still doesn't. It could either be story characters.
I'm sorry, it doesn't.
Or literary characters. So, you know, what I'm saying is this is a very different show than season one. Now, this is reminiscent of Lost in that season one, we had this small group of survivors from a plane crash. Season two or so, we discovered that there were other survivors from the other portion of the plane.
Right. Tailies.
Right.
Tail section.
And then, you know, it's just on and on and on. So in one case, they're following the Lost thing.
Again, I see where you're going with this. But again, let's just face the fact that they've now expanded the universe to include just about anything and everything. And now it does not fit with the original premise of the show. And we're just going to have to kind of say, okay, well, don't know where they're going to go with this. So let's just kind of hang on and see what they're going to do.
Right. I enjoy the writing. I enjoy the production of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's a fine show.
Absolutely.
But they've changed the framework of it now.
They have absolutely changed the framework.
It's different. And so it's almost kind of like a brand new show. You know, maybe last Sunday was just a little Halloween fun. Maybe he will go to Transylvania land and we will never hear from him again. And you know, it'll be just a Halloween thing. Or maybe not. I can't think of what more they can add to the story, except for science is more powerful than magic, because Rumpelstiltskin said over and over, we cannot bring back the dead. Dead is dead.
Right, but then did he really bring him back anyway? But anyway, that's a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, okay. So I am interested to see what's under the sheet in the laboratory. I'm interested to see what his assistant's name is. And actually, we didn't
really... Well, my guess would be Igor.
Well...
Because let's just face facts, since they already went that route, to put him as anybody else would be kind of silly at this point.
Yeah. So, and actually, we did not hear his last name. They called him Victor.
I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he said Dr.
Okay,
Frankenstein.
Fair enough. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to walk through this because I don't want anybody...
The assistant, Igor, called him Dr. Frankenstein.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway.
Sorry about that. So, you know, I'm Sammy Sunshine. I'm always a kumbaya guy, but I got to be honest, it changed the game.
Yeah,
and,
it did.
You know, I think it kind of opened up a lot of room and a lot of things like this. But I think if you were on board for Snow White, the Evil Queen, Emma, Charming, and that kind of eccentric part of the story, it now is open to all kinds of different things.
And by the way, one of the things in that article that we didn't mention that I just thought about is, and it's a true statement, they said now with the introduction of these new characters, like your Aurora, your Mulan, not so much them, but now with, you know, Dr. Frankenstein and whoever else could possibly be coming through, you know, town now, we're going to see a lot less of Emma and Snow and Charming and the Queen and everybody else because now they're going to focus on these folks this season.
So thus you know, it is a different show.
It's a different show.
Number one. Number two is, if you're going to go up to Steveston and you really get your heart set on meeting Lana or Josh, or it's going to be tough.
Extremely, really tough. Because they're not doing a lot. They're doing a lot of stuff on green screen. And not only that, they're not going to be filming as much because they're going to have some time off because these other characters are going to be, you know, taking the forefront.
Thus, it is a different show. And that's why I wanted to kind of take some time to explain. Still love the show.
Oh, I do too.
Still a fan.
Absolutely.
But
huge.
We did at least wanted to kind of talk through this massive change of the direction of where the boundaries are of the show. So, anyway. Tra-la-la. I just wanted to...
No, I think it, you know, look, we're entitled to our opinion.
Yeah.
And our opinion is the show has changed. Okay, so let's see where they go with it.
Yep.
Still love the show. Still watching it. Still a big fan. You know, I'm just going to say it's not the same show. It's a different show now, and that's okay. That's their choice, so let's just see where they go with it.
Yep. All righty. So let's go through some emails. I will try and read as best I can. I'm not perfect, but I will do my best. This is from Maggie, and she brings up a valid point, and I have an apology to make, so here we go. Jeff and Colleen, I wanted to say first that I love listening to the podcast and appreciate all the work you do. I love listening to the Initials Reactions podcast. And I think she meant First Thoughts, but another podcast has that same moniker.
They have that other name.
So I have gotten behind on Once Upon a Time, and even if I was caught up, I don't always catch the show the night it airs. I was very disappointed when the show downloaded this morning and the episode of The Doctor was spoiled for me. And what I did was, as a kind of a joke, but I did not think through the ramifications of it, is I said First Thoughts of The Doctor, and in parens I put, it turns out he was Dr. Frankenstein, kind of saying, you know, to everyone that was looking, it was like, yep, you know. It was because there was a number of people that said, it's Dr. Frankenstein. And we were like, I don't know. I just, you know, anyway. So that was kind of my fun little response. It was like, yep, you guys are right. Okay. And I wanted to put that in the title so that everyone wanted to see it. But it appears that, you know, people get the podcast, which I'm happy about. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I did not intend for that to be a spoiler.
No, that was not
so
intended.
That was my bad. And I took it out, but obviously it was too late. And but I thank you for pointing that out, and I won't do that in the future. So I'll continue. I stay away from spoilers. Please remember not everyone can watch the show right away. Please put spoilers in the info and not in the title. Thank you, Maggie in Virginia. And I will, and I'm sorry about that. This is already a wild podcast. It's wild. I'm spoiling people. I didn't really mean to. Anyway, sorry. From Lori, I have not emailed since last season, but I've been listening to the podcast. I just want to know where August is. You and me both.
Me too.
We'll be excited to see where he has been and what he has been working on. Wonder if he left town, or if he will lose his memory too, since he was not under the original curse. That is an excellent thought.
Yeah, that is interesting, because he wouldn't know unless he's been talking to somebody. So he wouldn't necessarily know what will happen.
Yeah, and I hope that we'll kind of see him integrated in to the later episodes.
Yes.
But, you know, for sure, they really, if they give you a glimpse of him, for instance, we didn't see Ava and Nicholas or Hansel and Gretel so far. So I don't think we're going to go back there. Obviously, the, you know, Sydney's kind of out of commission. He's doing a brilliant job at Revolution, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. If you're not watching that show.
Oh, boy.
You want to talk about a great show, great premise, and just a great show?
Now, yeah. It's not to say that Once Upon a Time isn't. We're not saying that.
No.
But we're saying also Revolution is a great show.
In addition to the awesomeness of Once Upon a Time,
so,
Revolution is pretty phenomenal.
As a friend of mine said, you know, when you can't change something, you got to build a bridge and get over it. And so I bought some bricks and I've been building
a bridge. Yeah, make it out of brick because wood burns.
I know. Okay, so, but yeah, where do you think?
See, and we kind of talked a little bit about it, but I'm not, I see, you know, I haven't really thought anything more about it, but I kind of wonder, I mean, there's a couple of options. Somebody helped him out because he woke up and he was still laying in the bed in the granny's bed and breakfast room. So somebody helped him out of there because he couldn't walk necessarily. Or he got himself out of there and snuck out while everybody else was, you know, focusing on all the other stuff that was happening. I mean, maybe he went back to Marco's, you know, Geppetto's shop to try and find him. Perhaps he went to the forest to go find the enchanted tree.
Well, and that was what I just thought of, too. I wonder if drinking the water now would do any good. Or maybe...
Oh, I wasn't thinking about the water, but anyway.
Yeah, okay.
But no, that's a good point.
Oh, yeah, the enchanted tree. Right, right.
The tree that start he came over. In. You yep. know, start yep. over, go back to mm-hmm. the beginning. It's possible that he got trapped somewhere like, Jefferson did.
Okay.
So that's just my thought.
Okay. Well, yeah, I am a huge August fan. I think his little sage speeches, as well as Jefferson's sage speeches, to me were just riveting. I really, they were the Yodas of the situation. So, anyhow.
Well, and charming now, too.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I love, you know, obviously the way we've kind of looked at it is, you know, season one was all about the curse, all about these characters who all their power and position were taken away as their memories were. So they had to kind of make it on their own and they blew it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have the opportunity to not only be who they are, but now there's magic, but you know, not everybody has magic and they still have to work together. But I'm really, you know, I'm really enjoying the depth of the relationships and all the characters that we saw just really blow it. Now they're really stepping into who they are. And I really love to see August now, Pinocchio, and see him learning from all his mistakes and what kind of advice he would give. I mean, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But, interesting. Well, and here's something that kind of struck me just now as we were saying this. They've had two names. So which one are they going to use now?
Yeah.
Do you know what
and
I mean?
They, and they've kind of, if I remember right, they flipped back and forth here and there. But they've also, like, read, say, Rumpelstiltskin. You know, they kind of had trouble
which one to use. Which totally makes sense because, right. You know, when their primary memory is of, you know, the present, you know, Storybrooke. That does kind of make sense.
Yep. And I haven't seen much of Granny.
No, yeah, what's she been up to?
After she shot the arrow at Regina.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of her. And then we saw Red use her power of following a scent.
Mm-hmm.
I said.
Yep. We're not going to see much of these characters this season, I don't think. No. And that's really tragic.
Yep. But it was nice to see more of Jefferson, too.
Yeah.
He's kind of been sprinkled here and there.
Yeah.
So.
And he will be, I think.
Yep.
I think we're gonna get to see a lot more of him, I think.
This is from Holly. It's, hey, Jeff and Colleen. Wow, what an episode. I have to agree with Colleen's theory that Dr. Whale is a mix of both Dr. Frankenstein and the Wizard of Oz. Or at least the story. Would you feel comfortable saying that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the outfit that the doctor was wearing in the past when he was dealing with Rumpel and Jefferson had the look of what the wizard wore when he greeted Dorothy and the others when they got to the Emerald City in the movie. And yeah, that's true. Had that kind of side-breasted suit with the row of buttons there.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of old school.
Very Victorian. So.
I was a little surprised that Jefferson and Rumpel were working together. The two of them made quite the team. Loved how Gold asked Jefferson about the slippers. And Jefferson asking, now, it took me a couple of listens to get the word slippers.
Yeah, it did. Because the way he pronounced it, it did sound kind of odd to me.
I thought at first he said stipend.
I did too, because the way he said it, it was very... it's funny, I've noticed this about Rumpel lately especially. He lapses from a Scottish accent to a British accent every once in a while.
But we still love you, Robert.
Oh, dude, always. And I love his accent, no matter what he does. Yeah. He's very good at both of them. But every once in a while, he'll say a word that just doesn't sound... It sounds more English than Scottish.
Yeah.
So, I had trouble with that, too.
I guess people hear better than me. You would tend to agree.
Well, in some cases, yes, it is true. Certain circumstances, definitely.
But I have a question. You know, however you want to reply to me, it's fine. How did you know he said slippers?
You want me to
No, say? No. The folks that are downloading and listening, how did you know he said slippers?
It took a while.
Because I'm telling you, I listened and I'm going, what? Stippins, what?
And that's what I heard too. And then anyway.
Well, here's another one. What is the name of Regina's horse?
Oh, and I can't remember now.
See, it started with an R, but I don't know what it is.
Mm, yeah.
I bet it was something kind of important that they kind of slipped in there.
Probably.
So, anyway. Okay, so I loved how Gold asked Jefferson about the slippers and Jefferson asking why Rumpel would be interested in a world without magic. Yeah, and... what I love is this whole idea. We'll get back to it, but because it kind of... Okay. So we thought... To me, the most powerful bit of magic device, portal, is the hat. Let me explain why. And let me kind of build a case for other ones.
Okay.
The hat... has doors,
mm-hmm.
or at least had doors.
Right.
They may or may not have doors now. But
well,
at one time,
seem to have much
they
of
did.
Anything now.
Right. Okay. But
yeah, I know what you're saying.
So, because the latest time the hat was used, it went straight to that Agrabah looking Sleeping Beauty castle place. So it was just one shot.
What?
Yeah. When they went through the hat.
Oh, right. Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So previously, when we saw the hat use, it had these doors.
Correct.
That you could pick where you went to.
Right. It put you into an antechamber that allowed you to choose the door of where you want to go. But here's the thing. I mean, is that because Jefferson, when he controlled it, he was the one who could make it go to a place, you know what I'm saying? Or is it that because of the magic, now that everything's broken, the only place it can go to safely is the Sleeping Beauty, you know?
I'll give you that. But let me build a case. I was thinking about this.
Please.
Because I never think about anything with the show, ever. So this hat is so powerful that it basically gives you the opportunity or gave you the opportunity that you could choose where you went to. Now, at first we said, wow, how cool, all these different stories and all this kind of stuff. But then we talked to, or early in this season, when they were talking to the Mother Superior, the Blue Fairy, mm-hmm. said, we don't have a wand or the pixie dust, fairy dust.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, Charming said, well, listen, can't we just get a portal and go rescue them? And she said, without fairy dust to guide us or to get back, we need fairy dust to get us back.
Mm.
So you see what I'm saying? That's why I think this hat is the most powerful thing ever. Because you can get back and forth and choose without having something else. Now, let's get to something that we're going to see more of.
Well, here's the only thing I will say is, remember when Regina wanted to go back and get something to poison, you know,
right.
get rid of Emma, Jefferson said, "When it needs magic."
Right.
So it does need magic. It just needs who knows what type of magic. But obviously, it doesn't need fairy dust.
Right.
It doesn't mean
No. What I'm saying is each thing is different. With the fairies, they can't use a hat, let's say, right? Maybe they can. But
they wouldn't necessarily need to.
But then when Hook was explaining about how they were going to get to Storybrook, they need the enchanted ashes from the cupboard. Plus, they need this enchanted, what, the compass.
Yes, the compass, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
But that's because the ship is not magic.
But I'm just telling you that these other situations need other things. The hat was only the hat. I mean, at one point. I just want to bring it up. So.
Yeah, all right.
All right. So I continue with Holly's email here. Lana really knocked it out of the park in this episode. The scenes with Emma, Snow, and Mulan and Aurora were interesting. Glad to see Emma's power of being able to tell who's lying has come back. And I have always said that, when they showcase these actors, they really just shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lana really just, the moment at the stables at the end when she kind of got Charming out of the way and then she kind of took over,
mm-hmm.
it was mesmerizing. It really, really was well done.
Yes.
And so
Lana is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, look, she is very, very talented. She's mm-hmm. very talented. She makes you believe she is the queen and that she is, going through painful experiences or what have you. I was really very happy with her this week.
Well, I think, two of my favorite moments in just quick thinking about Lana's scenes were one when her and J-Mo were fighting in that closet, and they had that exchange. It was supposed to put you to sleep. It was just powerful.
Mm-hmm.
J-Mo was just on 10, just fighting for the son that they shared,
right?
And then the scene in the last in the doctor, where she had to finally kind of face letting go, which is what Archie told her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think we're going to touch on this in a couple of emails and voicemails.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
No, that was very powerful scene. Very powerful. It really made me feel compassion for her.
And we did get an answer to why Daniel evaporated into ash. And I got it on Twitter and we'll talk about it. But I did. thank you for everyone who follows us on Twitter and tweets out little answers. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, I will continue. Glad to see. Okay. Emma's power of deducing a lie is in effect. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I look forward to hearing more of your thoughts and other listeners as well. Keep up the great work and big love to everyone. Thank you, Holly from Wisconsin.
Thanks, Holly.
And, yeah, it's funny how powerful Rumpelstiltskin is. He does kind of need some help here and there. And we'll talk about that help in a bit. So this is from Dan. Hey, guys, just a quick note to let you know that I got your buttons and other things today during the middle of Hurricane Sandy. So it's right at the beginning of it.
Wow.
Neither rain nor sleet nor dead of night, the mail still comes through. Hey, I'm a letter carrier. I should know. Well, fantastic.
Very cool.
Thank you for your hard work. I know it is crazy tough. The dogs and nutty things.
Oh,
thank you for that.
Yes, thank you. I had a friend whose husband was a letter carrier, and by the way, the stories.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll bet. Sorry I missed the first thoughts of the doctor. Absolutely love how they're treating Regina's addiction to magic. Yeah, I would agree. And how she confessed right away to Dr. Jiminy. And, you know, that really kind of ties into how much she's really trying. She's trying.
She really is. She really is.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, for lack of a better term, any addict.
Sure.
You know, when you start, you really have to do well and be accountable.
There's still good in her.
Yeah.
And she's letting it take over, so to speak. And one of the other things I want to point out is that whole conversation between her and Jiminy, there were points of it that felt very much like a confessional, almost like a priest.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting, too.
Well, and the more I see her, and I think it's with any character, but, you know, we're talking about the baddie, right? The antagonist of this show, you know, except for maybe Rumple, but Rumple finds little corners to hide in.
By the way, the comment about him needing help, it's not so much that he needs help. I think that it offers him the ability to control. Because he has enough power, I think, to do things without people's assistance. But I think that it ends up giving him power. Because he then, I don't want to say owns them, but they owe him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's just kind of what I see.
All right. Dan continues. Also, not so much a pet cemetery, which is... See, I didn't know fully about the Dr. Frankenstein, really, at that moment. And so the only thing I thought about is, if you bring something back that's worse, pet cemetery. That's the only thing I thought about.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't going there, although... Anyway... Anyway, I will continue. As a Boris Karloff, Peter Cushing, Frankenstein. So, you know, and you could have gone right there, and that's exactly where it went. Even got an It's Alive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Out of him. Not magic, science. 80s song, She Blinded Me With Science, comes to mind. You know, and that is, and I kind of mentioned it before, that is the only interesting part of it is that at least the point of discussion about science is stronger than magic, or at least it can be determined and tested and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, magic is pretty powerful. The only thing it can't do is bring somebody back to life.
Well, actually, if you know your Disney folklore of what magic can and can't do, it can't bring anybody back from the dead.
Right.
It can't make anybody fall in love with you. And it can't grant you any more wishes.
Right. Well, that's wishing. But yeah,
magic
is the same
thing. It's magic genie.
Magic genie. All right. I will continue. Finally, it looks like Emma is getting her sea legs back with Hook, so to speak. And I'm a good judge of seeing who's telling the truth. And I think the little moments of the mother and daughter I really enjoy.
Yeah, me too.
The Snow talking to Emma. It's like, oh, so you know that? Yeah, of course I know. You know, and it's like, well, okay. You know, so the mom, you know, mom's always trying, mom, and you know, but sometimes kids know more than what parents think. And
And you can tell she was proud of her for being so smart to think of, you know, what she was doing.
All right. Be back in the chat for the after party. And I think he's talking about tonight, and we can't do it live. Sorry. Peace, Dan. Thank you, Dan. And
thanks,
this next
Dan.
Email is from Katie. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I just started listening to your podcast a couple of weeks ago. I like your show. I have a few thoughts about the Doctor episode. First, I'm glad we get to see Emma and Mary Margaret again. Second, charming, punching Dr. Whale was great. And we saw that scene filmed.
Yeah, a number of times.
God, Lord, I can't. That's too incredible.
Yep, it was pretty cool.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, everybody trying to use the, but we were cursed, you know, so. And, yep. Third, we now know that magic from the wardrobe and the compass are needed to get to Storybrooke. I'm wondering if Hook held anything back. Probably, I would think. Or if anything else is needed to get back as well. Do you think Cora will find out that Hook double-crossed her? Should be interesting to find out. Yeah. And definitely.
Oh, I'm guessing she will find it out, unless that was the part of the plan all along.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. If I was Cora, I would charade as Aurora or Mulan. I would be there the whole time.
Really?
Yep. You bet. Because they're doing exactly what I want, and then he's faking like, well, where is Cora?
Oh, good question. What if he's Cora?
Well, that's even a better question.
She masqueraded as
mm-hmm.
Lancelot, so why not him?
Yep. So, and you know, and that's why I kind of said what I said before. It's hard to keep up with all these things, but I mean, that card was played, so now that figures in.
Sure.
So,
and not to say that they're going to use the same exact card, because, by the way, how crazy would that be? But at the same time, it's a pretty good card to play.
What if Hook?
Especially if they don't know him very well, then yeah, hi.
What if Hook is in a dungeon somewhere? Or somewhere. And what if that is Cora?
Well, I don't think he's in a dungeon somewhere. Well, because she's hooked up with him. And we saw him, not the two of them talking not that long ago. So my thinking is she's hiding on the ship somewhere. Or she's going to be at the top of the beanstalk somehow.
Okay. All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and we don't know. Maybe she knows this giant person at the top of the beanstalk, whoever that
maybe
is.
Maybe she'll be the giant at the top of the beanstalk. Well, you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
crazier things have happened.
Well, and you know, so. Yep. All right.
But yeah, I do think she's going to... And the only reason she has not gone after the girls is because there's four of them.
Mm.
So if he can get rid of one of them, or two of them, then they can take, you know, them on together.
Well, and you were kind of going over the Jack and the Beanstalk story, and part of it was that one of the variations was that they chopped down that Jack stole three things in three different trips. And the last trip, the giant came down to get him and get his stuff. And he chopped down the beanstalk and killed the giant.
Right.
So, I mean... Again, I'm not saying they have to follow the story to the letter, but
no,
I mean...
No, but I'm sure there'll be elements.
Yeah.
So. There'll probably be, you know, a goose that lays golden eggs.
Yeah. Could be a harp.
Probably be a harp that plays on its own.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it is, you know, we were talking about threes today, you know, just the power of three. You have to... He took three things. And even in jokes, there's, you know, there's this, you know, life is like... something, and you go, it's da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. It's just three.
Three is a very good number.
Yep. All right. So, number four, I had thought that Dr. Whale was Dr. Frankenstein, so I'm glad that was revealed. Yep. Fifth, I can't wait to see Emma's past, and I'm thinking that we possibly will find out who Henry's father is.
Yes.
Possibly, for sure.
Yeah. I thought I'd heard something that
we know
were
the mom.
Planning. Yeah. I thought for sure they were planning to reveal it this season.
Yeah. Yep. So for sure, you know, if we see the backstory talking about Tallahassee, although we know that Henry was born in Phoenix. But you know, I mean, love could blossom in Tallahassee. And
well, yeah, he was born in Phoenix doesn't mean she was there when he was conceived.
Right. Yep. All right. And that was from Katie from Florida. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie,
very much. And this is from our good friend Wayne. I'm going to play this, and hopefully it doesn't blow your eardrums out. Here we go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, Wayne here from the Fringe Casting, Fringe Podcast, calling in for your Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And the show has just been knocking it out of the park all season long. Once Upon a Time is rocking it. This past week, we learned about Dr. Whale, Frankenstein, Frankenstein, Victor, whatever you want to call him. And I've never really liked Dr. Whale. Not so much the actor. I think he does a great job, David Anders. But the character of Dr. Whale, and I know there's not many people that do like him, but now it's come back to me why, and I need to invoke some sort of separation of TV shows. But I had never seen Alias before, one of J.J. Abrams' first big hits. I'm now watching Alias. I'm in the middle of season 3. Things are getting crazy. It's a great show, and one of the big baddies on there is Mr. Sark, played by David Anders, and he is a villain that you just gotta hate. It's like, how many times is he gonna get away from them? And I just can't stand Mr. Sark on Alias. And now I think some of that, unfortunately, has sunk over with Dr. Whale, Dr. Frankenstein, or whatever he is, who believes science is more powerful than magic on Once Upon a Time. Just wanted to share that with you. I'm gonna get back to some more Alias while I wait for the next Once Upon a Time, and hopefully they'll eventually take out this Mr. Sark.
Thank you, Mr. Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne.
Appreciate it so much. And I did watch Alias
while. Watched season one, and then I can't remember why I stopped after that. So I didn't ever see a Mr. Sark or anything like that, so.
I did enjoy
Jennifer
Garner in the wigs that she wore, and but I thought it was a very interesting show.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, he did J.J. Abrams did produce Felicity, and then one day he said, "I think it'd be interesting if Felicity was a spy," and then they worked on and created the Alias show, and then mm-hmm. things took off from there.
Yeah, I did. I liked Victor Garber, who I think played her dad in the show. He was really good. I like him a lot.
And we have got Netflix now, so we have all these different shows that we can watch. And I recommend, if it's within your budget, that you get Netflix. And you know, you can documentary out like I do,
mm-hmm.
or you can watch old TV shows that you can't find anywhere else. Like
yeah.
we were watching Mr. Bean, and
yeah, that was fun.
There was a Black Adder, Christmas Carol, twist show, and so yeah, it was pretty kind of cool and different and interesting. But I don't know if Alias is on there, but I just wanted to say that
probably
watching old shows.
But I will go back to Wayne's comment about, yeah, if you've seen him as another character, another bad
yeah.
character, yeah, chances are good. And if, especially if he's really bad, he's probably going to stick in your mind as a bad character. I know he plays a lot of bad guys. I know
yeah.
he does, because that's just kind of an IMDb comment and other people that have, you know, and I think he's even mentioned it, but he plays bad guys.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing with Robert Carlyle. And Robert Carlyle likes the dark characters a
yeah.
lot.
Well, I think anybody does, you know, and I think
well, yeah,
people.
Well, yeah, because if it's not your normal personality, it gives you a chance to
right.
kind of release some of your, you know, whatever you have inside that, you know, needs to get out so you don't, you know, really become a bad person.
Well, okay.
That's just my psychological theory.
A good guy is kind of boring because he
can be.
Colors within the lines. He's kind of follows the rules.
Yeah.
A bad guy is outside the lines, dangerous, you know. Some of you ladies love the bad boys,
mm-hmm.
the unattainable,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
so
untamable.
Right.
It's not that
yeah.
they're unattainable.
Well,
they're frequently very attainable. They're
okay.
just untamable. That's there's a difference.
Now, on the opposite side is when a good guy becomes a hero, becomes bigger than himself. And that's different. So you've got a hero, and then you've got the villain, and that's the two.
I have said that there is, in my opinion, nothing sexier than a man who will fight for the love of his life or for his kids.
Mm. Yep.
Good, bad, or otherwise, nothing sexier than that. And that's, I mean, ladies can back me up on this. Watching a man hold his baby and being sweet with his kids, talking about his kids like they're the world to him, huge. And then talking about the woman they love,
right.
Oh my gravy.
Now,
and doesn't matter who it is.
But okay, so Prince Charming running down the hall, clutching his child, fighting off, you know, the evil, you know, other guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that was probably an important scene that I knew they put in there to kind of lock in the fact this guy's a hero. He's wearing white, for heaven's sake.
Well, yeah.
You know, so, yep. Okay. This is from Frank. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Hope your week finds you well as November begins. Not to take away from your podcast, but I wonder if you have started listening to the podcast ABC puts out on Mondays, talking with Adam and Eddie after each episode. I have. I've listened to a number of them, but sometimes work gets kooky and I can't as much as I would like.
Yeah, I have not had an opportunity to listen.
But I would say initially it was kind of very obtuse and they weren't really explaining much of anything, but lately, they've been really giving good answers and even kind of spoilery kinds of things. But overall, I really have enjoyed it because they do answer questions now, which is great. And I know that Jane answers questions as well about certain things. And even even J-Mo, we saw her in glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody asked her, you know, listen, you know, why are you wearing glasses? And she says, well, my character at that point could not afford contacts.
Contact lenses, yeah.
So anyway, it was just, I don't think that's a spoiler. It's just, that's why.
No, because it's on the promo. We've seen that she's on the wearing glasses in the promo.
So that was J-Mo's answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming my companion to your podcast, and I love the insight they give to their thoughts. And yeah, it is great when the people in the know give you facts in the know, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, we have fun theorizing. We theorize all day and be totally not right, but it sounds good and it's fun getting there. It's just,
oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
So, but yeah, if Adam and Eddie say this, you know, it is cool to hear whys and why fours about the episodes from them. Warning, though, they do drop hints every so often about upcoming episodes, verging closely on spoilers, but not being too blatant. And I would tend to agree. But if you're non-spoiler, I don't know, boy, you may be kind of tough. So, because we're weird. We're the old codger people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're like, no spoilers. People are like, wait a minute. ABC releases sneak peeks, but that's a spoiler.
Well, hence the word sneak peek.
No, but ABC released it, and it's just, it's hard for people to understand. So
you have to go find those. They're not like, it's not like something you're going to see accidentally watching TV.
Well, no, they find you on Twitter.
That's what I'm saying. No. What I'm saying, listen, what I'm saying is the sneak peeks are things you have to go look for on purpose. They're not things you're going to accidentally bump into by watching, you know, some television show on ABC, which the promos, that's, I mean, granted, it technically is a spoiler of sorts. It's showing you what's coming up next week. It's not intentional. I mean, it's promoting the show.
Right.
It's promoting the episode, making you want to watch it. But the sneak peeks add stuff that's spoiler, big time spoiler.
Well, and the fact is there are really different types of fans of this show. There are certain types of fans that are no spoilers, period. Okay. And then there's certain types of fans that are all spoilers all the time. And then there's certain fans that are, I don't like spoilers, except for this one, you know, and I have caved to temptation, you know, and it's funny. It's kind of like somebody trying to get off of something, you know.
Well, hi, we went sugar, up to whatever. Yeah. We went up to Steveston and had spoilers. But the problem is we didn't know what the actual storyline was because we only saw snippets. So we really didn't have spoilers.
I know, but I'm just, you know, however you are, and then your feelings about spoilers are going to differ 30 different ways if you start talking to 30 different people that are Once Upon a Time fans. Just, that's just the way it is. And so, you know, we have to kind of run a certain way in that, you know, we made a decision. Colleen and I talked about it. We actually kind of adjusted it because I really didn't see a problem with sneak peeks, but, you know, it is a spoiler. So she and I talked about it and we kind of adjusted that and that's it. You know, our spoiler policy is, new episode titles are okay. The casting information of new actors in the show are okay. And anything in the coming next week promo after the episode is okay.
Or commercials, yeah.
Yeah, or commercials on television.
Because sometimes they have other ones besides the promo. So,
we took a bit of a detour, but let's get back. Anyway, the latest podcast after The Doctor, they talked about naming Dr. Whale after James Whale, the director of the 1931 Frankenstein movie. And I'm going on a bunch of tangents tonight. If you've never gone to Universal Studios and gone on the tour, you need to go. Because it's really, really cool to see that Courtyard of Miracles where they filmed Frankenstein. And, you know, that kind of stuff, one of these days, is going to be gone.
Yeah, very
And
possible.
I really, really, really recommend that you see that kind of history, you know. And anyway, so, yeah. I thought that that was a stroke of genius, and it makes me think going forward that with other characters we may have to give a bit more thought into the names of characters if we need to try and discover who they are. True. Yeah, and it would have been interesting to have a name that kind of threw us off, but that really led us right to it. So, anyway.
James Whale?
Yes.
It didn't lead us right to it?
Yeah, it did.
Really?
Well, the last name of the director.
Yeah, up until like the week before, I had no clue. I think most people didn't until people started spoiling like crazy.
Well, okay. Well.
But that's just me.
Yeah. But no, Whale and then Frankenstein and I think, well, there's a really cool point coming up in a voicemail that we'll talk about.
Okay.
Spoiler, that kind of. Anyway, I can't wait to see the next episode, and it makes me wonder who may be Jack and or the harp from the Beanstalk story.
Yep.
The idea of the compass they need being that one Hansel and Gretel had is interesting, but I'm not sure if that will be the case considering the compass came along with Hansel and Gretel into Storybrooke. Perhaps, however, it's a companion to it in some other way. I wonder, however, if the compass will have anything to do with Peter Pan, which could be why Hook knows it's there. And you need a compass for a ship. So maybe it's something different. But
Yeah.
And you mentioned that they had a compass in Pirates of the Caribbean that led to certain things. Jack Sparrow.
Well, yeah.
He came up in that article as well, too.
He did come up as a possibility only if Johnny Depp would ever actually play him.
Yep.
And so, I mean, dude, if they could make that happen.
There you go.
Only because I love Johnny Depp, but.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right. So, the more answers given, the more questions it brings up, and I'm on the edge of my seat trying to find the new answer. So you and me both. It's a lot to keep straight. It's really,
it
really, really
is.
Tough. Because, I mean, there's so much now. So,
yep, it's true.
I feel like, you know, all my buddies that did Lost podcast. It's a lot to keep going and keep straight. And oh my gosh. Anyway, boy, do I love this show. Take care and keep the great podcast coming. Frank Spiderhawk. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. And let's end hour one right now. And I think we'll take a break and then we'll start hour number two.
Cool. Okay.
Okay. I want to send big love out to everyone who stuck with us from the beginning. All the new folks that have found us, all the folks that download or listen from the website, however you come to us. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We try and be a little different, and we think different is good. So we want to send big love out to everyone who is affected by the storms on the east. Please hang in there. And if you can give something to help them, please do so. Other than that, we just send big love out to everybody and take care. And we'll talk to you soon. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.